good morning to you, Diane Medved.
Good morning, Jim.
This is something that you've written about prolifically and in your new book, Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. You believe more strongly than ever that marriage is something worth keeping and preserving. Why?
Well, first of all, we're under assault. Marriage is not what it used to be. The age at first marriage has changed from being 20 for women and 21 for men, up to 29 for men. People are now considering marriage a capstone rather than a foundation to start your life. And so people are not interested in even getting married, mainly because they're often the children of divorce themselves, and they see how perilous it's been. So the fewer divorces we have, the fewer children we have who will be scared off from marriage and be able to start their lives earlier and better.
Diane, you say that there are legions of professionals who are financially invested in divorce.
Absolutely. I call them the divorce industry. And these are people who are responding to a change in our culture whereby it's pro-divorce. No longer are people willing to make judgments about other people, pro or con. But in this case, when it comes to divorce, what it does is fuel people into a divorce industry where counselors, where friends, where coaches, and everyone is willing to cheer you on in whatever you say. And if you're expressing any dissatisfaction with your relationship, instead of saying, wait a minute, this is not something to pursue, they'll nod their heads consolingly, and they'll push you toward the divorce court, and there's so many different people making money off of you along the way, and then you'll come out with a decree without really giving your marriage a chance.
Now, we often hear that when marriages go south, that there's no hope that staying together will only make the two parties more miserable than ever and perhaps affect children if they have them. How do you answer people who have that belief?
Well, that's a matter of attitude. I'm sure everyone knows people who would never get divorced, who in a million years wouldn't consider it. You know the old phrase, murder, maybe, divorce, never, never. So the whole idea being that it's a matter of attitude and commitment. And there are many people who are still committed to marriage. However, because the sea change in values from do your duty with the greatest generation toward follow your heart, which was the 60s mantra, people are now looking more seriously at what they're feeling moment to moment rather than seeing their marriage as a life project, as a family project, whereby they meet someone, they stick together, and they raise a family together until those children are launched and beyond. And that has to be the change in attitude that we foster.
We're visiting with clinical psychologist Dr. Diane Medved. Her book, her latest, is Don't Divorce. What's the most common reason, or is there a most common reason why people divorce?
Well, there's actually three classes of reasons. There's the one about you. It's your fault. You've done A, B, C, D. Maybe you've betrayed the marriage. Maybe you have a despicable habit, something that the other person's done. The second class of excuses has to do with it's about me. I need more from someone. I'm not attracted to you. I have an affair going on, and I can't resist it. I have to follow my heart. So these are the second class. It's about me. But the one that's the most popular is a group of excuses where people are saying, it's nobody's fault. We've just grown apart. We're just bored with each other. We are just fighting all the time. And so we have a problem that we can solve by just breaking this up. It's nobody's fault. We can't be blamed for it. That's the easy out that people take, and nobody argues with them. They all say, yeah, okay, we accept it.
What's the best way to revive a dying marriage?
Well, first of all, you have to look at the commitment that you made. I tell people to get out their wedding albums and leaf through it and try and remember what was it about that person that made you want to commit your life, to pledge your forever to that person. Rekindle that feeling. And secondly, emulate the marriages that you see around you. I have in my book, Don't Divorce, an epilogue in which I talk about a trial period in which you and your partner agree to do two things. The first one is agree to win by letting go, and the second one is to behave as if you're happily married. These are two things that you can do right now with your partner to see if you can rekindle what's going on and to turn around the momentum of a divorce that might be already in progress.
Well, you speak from authority. You've had a long marriage to our friend Michael Medved, and quite often people say you can't have two passionate people who are successful in their worlds and have them come together and be a strong unit. How do you answer?
Well, I think there often is clash. But I think what people have to do is, instead of putting their work as their number one priority, they have to put their family as their number one priority. And that is not something our culture encourages, because the pressure to succeed, the competition in the workplace, the need for money are all things that seem to override what people consider to be their leisure time. That's their family. But at the end of your life, when you're looking back and you want to see what's on your tombstone, if you're looking up, looking down from above, you don't want on that tombstone to be, I spent my life at the office. You want it to be beloved husband, beloved father, successful helper in the community, the kinds of things that you don't get paid for. That's what you have to do, even if both of you are driven in your careers.
Now, when people look back to the 50s and 60s and say it was the good old days, that things were better then, there were some things we didn't look at that we should have, like segregation. But one thing that has changed is that a lot more people are divorced now than they were then. What has that done to the fabric of our society?
Well, obviously, it's torn it apart. Because you can't count on the people around you. And this is particularly true for children who, when I was growing up, it was rare to have another family who had divorce in it. And you felt sorry for those kids. You went out of your way to help them. But now, there's so many kids who are being raised with two identities, one for mom's house, one for dad's house. And then they don't have a predictability in their lives. That is a lack of stability for the kids. That radiates outward, because then you need all the support personnel and you need to be able to deal with the issues that come up. There's a lot of health issues. There's a lot of psychological issues. And the fabric of the community is changed forever. And it radiates outward to our states, to our country. We have become a country that is less religious, that is less involved in things that are transcending our moment-to-moment feelings. And I think that's negative.
Are children of divorce more likely to get divorces themselves?
They absolutely are, but even more importantly, they're more likely to put off getting married because they're afraid that divorce is inevitable. Lots of times they have horrible experiences. Many times that causes them to pledge that they will never get divorced, but it also causes them to pledge not to get married and not to commit, and that causes destabilizing factors in our culture, too.
And I'm told that people who get divorced, if they remarry, a second marriage is less likely to work than a first, and a third is less likely to work than a second, and so on and so on. Is that true?
Well, you know, some statistics show that, but then there's contravailing statistics also. And I think by publicizing the contravailing ones, we're better off. In other words, if you go into a marriage believing that its chances for success are higher, then you're going to believe that you can do more to save it. And I think the myth of the 50% divorce rate is something that has destroyed marriages and given people permission, because they say, hey, I'm just in the wrong half. Uh-huh. And I think people going into a second and third marriage should go into it with the idea that they have just as much chance to make a success, and that we can look at each marriage discreetly and not as a series, that each person is worth evaluating and sticking with on a one-by-one basis, and not, oh, well, it's my second marriage, so I can expect it to break up.
Well, Dr. Medved, the book is Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. Is there ever a time when you say, look, there's no hope?
Well, there are some cases where it's necessary, unfortunately. If there's cases of abuse, if there's abandonment where one partner just leaves the marriage, if there's addiction and that partner does not want to get help, those are sometimes cases where there's no choice, where it really is one person in a marriage and just a shell. And in those cases, there may be necessity for divorce, and I feel bad about that, and we should all support those who have to go through such situations.
Money and sex, are those often the culprits?
They are, actually. Money and sex are often the culprits. However, sex is more of a culprit for men because pornography has become something prevalent in our culture. 80% of men under 30 partake regularly on a weekly basis or more often in pornography. It's as close as your cell phone. It's easy to do. You can do it in private. And yet it brings a wedge between partners, because then women become objectified. Sexuality doesn't have to be in marriage. It becomes a private, separate thing. And I think sex is a big issue, and it's not always affairs. It is often pornography, and we need to confront that issue.
And money?
And money. The thing is that people are often spending more nowadays than they take in, and it's made easier by credit cards and all kinds of other come-ons you get in the mail. money seems to be something that is freely available, even when it shouldn't be. And so in those cases, there's a tendency to overspend. There's a tendency to then get behind. And what that does is often pull people out of the family toward having to work more to pay off these things. And when somebody's so involved in paying off debts, look at student loans. People are now coming out at age 21, 22 with $100,000 in debt. This didn't happen before. And these kinds of debts are often sort of wedges between the partner and magnets to doing other things that will then help them secure the money to pay for them.
The book is Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage from Dr. Diane Medved. And it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us, Diane.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.